This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. Time now for a look at Wednesday's top stories, and we begin here in Washington, where President Obama on Wednesday signed into law a major overhaul of financial industry regulations. It's the third major cog in his agenda that's been successfully passed. The reaction from voters, of course, another major story, with severe backlash coming from the stimulus plan and the health care bill. We still have yet to see what the reaction will be to a more complicated set of laws, still more than 2,000 pages long, designed to reform the financial industry in the wake of the 2008 financial crisis that we're still, of course, feeling the effects of. The president says there are a lot of reasons why the financial crisis happened, but the major reason was because of unscrupulous Wall Street personnel who were trying to make a quick buck and not playing by the rules. The president says that he got this legislation through Congress with the help of quality leadership in Congress, and despite the opposition of special interests and what he called a partisan minority.
You know, passing this bill was no easy task. To get there, we had to overcome the furious lobbying of an array of powerful interest groups and a partisan minority determined to block change. So the members who are here today, both on the stage and in the audience, they have done a great service in devoting so much time and expertise to this effort.
And the president says the bill contains virtually all of the major provisions he called for in the wake of the financial crisis before even taking office.
Now, even before the crisis hit, I went to Wall Street and I called for common sense reforms to protect consumers and our economy as a whole. And soon after taking office, I proposed a set of reforms to empower consumers and investors to bring the shadowy deals that caused this crisis into the light of day and to put a stop to taxpayer bailouts once and for all.
But Republicans, who are nearly unanimous in their opposition to this in the House and Senate, say that the bill doesn't do what the president claims it will do. They claim it will produce a permanent bailout culture, vastly increase government control over private enterprise, as well as the daily issues in the lives of consumers. They're also bewildered and frustrated about the fact that one of the major culprits in the whole financial scandal, the subprime loan mess with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, was not even addressed at all in more than 2,000 pages of legislation. Also likely to be headed to the president's desk relatively soon is aid for the unemployed through the month of November. The price tag approved by the Senate earlier this week was $34 billion. It looks like the final price tag will be $38 billion. Democrats are accusing congressional Republicans of siding against middle-class Americans, but the GOP says all they wanted was to have this paid for, either through stimulus dollars or some other way that didn't add to the federal deficit, which is already well over $1 trillion, both for the previous fiscal year and the one we're currently in. Among those very frustrated with the president and even calling his economic agenda irresponsible is Wyoming Republican Senator John Barrasso. You can hear my full conversation with him at worldnetdaily.com and dateline.radioamerica.org. The issue of race has been in the political headlines for many different reasons in recent weeks and months, and today was certainly no different at the White House, with the dismissal of Shirley Sherrod from the Department of Agriculture being perhaps the biggest issue of questioning at the daily briefing from Press Secretary Robert Gibbs. The story goes is that Sherrod was fired by the U.S. Department of Agriculture as a result of comments she made, and that were videotaped, to the NAACP in Georgia back in March. During the excerpt that had been posted by BigGovernment.com, Sherrod explained how she didn't help a white farmer as much as she could have because she was worried about black people losing their land as well. But a look at the whole speech shows that Sherrod actually ended up helping the white farmer a whole lot more than the white attorney that she referred him to. The larger picture, according to Sherrod, was that it's important to help the poor people against the rich people. Now the U.S. Department of Agriculture, as well as the Obama administration, are apologizing to Sherrod. She may get her job offered back to her, but she has not said that she is interested necessarily in getting that job back. Nonetheless, how this was handled, again, a major topic at the press briefing on Wednesday, with Press Secretary Robert Gibbs saying all sorts of different entities jumped to the wrong conclusion way too quickly.
Members of this administration, members of the media, members of different political factions on both sides of this have all made determinations and judgments without a full set of facts.
Gibbs also says there should be some clear lessons learned for everyone.
I think we live in a culture that things whip around. People want fast responses. We want to give fast responses. And I don't think there's any doubt that if we all look at this, I think the lesson, one of the great lessons you take away from this is to ask all the questions first.
For more analysis on this, I spoke earlier today with Abigail Thernstrom. She is the co-chair of the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights, which investigates many different issues, including recent allegations of a racial bias at the Obama Justice Department against white plaintiffs, against potentially black defendants. The new Black Panther case up in Philadelphia, the most recent one brought before the commission. You'll be very interested to hear Thernstrom's reaction to the testimony she heard about that case and others. She also has some very pointed advice for President Obama concerning what she considers a deteriorating racial dialogue in this country. That interview can be found, again, at dateline.radioamerica.org or worldnetdaily.com. South Carolina Republican Senator Lindsey Graham under fire from many conservatives today for the second time endorsing one of the president's Supreme Court nominees. Last year it was Sonia Sotomayor, in which Graham was the only member on the Republican side of the Senate Judiciary Committee to vote for the nomination. And, of course, on Tuesday he did so again with the nomination of Elena Kagan. And in his comments defending his decision, Senator Graham said he did so because Obama won the last election.
It is also our obligation to honor elections, respect elections, and to protect the court. I view my role as a United States Senator in part protecting the independence of the judiciary and making sure that hard-fought elections have meaning in terms of their results within our Constitution.
But Senator Graham so far is a lone wolf on the Republican side of the aisle, although a few more moderate Republican votes in favor of Kagan's nomination are expected to emerge before the final vote on the Senate floor in the coming days. In my interview with Senator Barrasso, I also asked him about the Kagan nomination and what issues will determine how he votes on her confirmation. Also at worldnetdaily.com and dateline.radioamerica.org, my conversation with Dr. Carl Moeller of Open Doors USA, an organization that is really a leader in assisting the persecuted Christian church. He has information about sheer chaos really happening in North Korea right now as that government has radically devalued its currency, people's entire life savings reduced to pocket change, and just people being desperate, suicidal, and persecution still being rampant in that country, particularly against Christians. For the full story and my interview with Dr. Carl Moeller, head to worldnetdaily.com and dateline.radioamerica.org. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.